Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Amy Eddings in for Brian Lehrer. This afternoon, Governor Christie presents his annual budget for New Jersey, and John Mooney of NJSpotlight.com joins me to preview the speech and talk about some of the fiscal and political factors that will shape what finally gets approved by the June deadline. Welcome back to the show, John.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Fine, thanks. We know one big piece of the governor's plan. He proposed a 10% across-the-board income tax in his State of the State speech last month. Here he is talking about it.
And now what I'm saying is it's time for the people to get some of their money back, done responsibly. 10% cut, phased in over 3 years, so you can do it responsibly and not bust the budget.
Democratic legislative leaders are objecting to this proposal, right? They are saying a property tax cut would be better. Tell me competing notions here of where this tax cut should come.
Well, as you mentioned, the governor is proposing a 3-year phase in of an income tax cut. It would be about $150 million a year in each of the next three budgets. The Democrats have been pushing harder. They in fact have pushed for a increase in the millionaires tax, which would to help fund schools and transportation and the like. And they've been making their push. In addition to that he helped reduce, in terms of state aid, which is really the biggest driver in, oftentimes in these things, help reduce property taxes, which are among the highest in the country. So there's a real pushback on that. And I, to be honest with you, I think the governor will probably have a little bit of both in this budget. I think he does want to address the property tax issue. They've gone up considerably under his 2 years, in large part because of the end of the property tax rebate. So I imagine he's going to have a couple things that hopefully can address that politically as much as financially.
Property tax cut or income tax cut, listeners, New Jerseyans, which would you choose? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post your comment on our website at WNYC.org. Click on The Brian Lehrer Show. Here's Democratic State Senator Paul Sarlo, who chairs the Senate Budget Committee, speaking last week.
We're still down $325 million. Our revenues are still lagging behind the rest of the country. And then this is a big year this year. We have a pension payment that needs to be made. Well, we have a court order that school funding needs to be increased.
John, what's the $325 million he's referring to?
Well, it's really an issue of the current budget, that the revenues are not coming in quite as much as the governor's office had estimated in the existing budget. It's about $325 million short at this point. That can change. Really, the bulk of the taxes or revenues come in after this, with the income taxes in April. So those numbers are still somewhat fluid, but they're certainly not coming in above estimates, and it's something that's going to have to, certainly going to be play in the eventual budget that's approved in June.
It's up to the governor to project revenues. In past years, Christie has been conservative with that projection. This year, with his promise of a tax cut, how much pressure does that put for him to be a little bit more optimistic about revenues?
Well, it's certainly going to be. I mean, interestingly, he had in last year in ultimately certifying this estimate, he had turned down a nonpartisan estimate from the Office of Legislative Services that would have come in a couple $100 million higher. So even with his more conservative estimate, it's coming in a little short this year. And certainly it's going to be a pressure on him, though his history has been to stick with this. And he has a couple fallbacks. I mean, I don't think he's going to be really strapped this year in terms of meeting some of these estimates. But it is going to, where it's going to play out is how much is he going to be providing to schools? That's a big question that Senator Sarlo referred to in terms of we have a court order that orders the full funding of our urban districts under our School Funding Act. And last year that led to close to $500 million more than the governor had proposed. He went along with it being a court order, but that's something he's going to have to deal with this year. And at the same time, does he help out suburban districts who are watching this money go to inner city schools, but themselves are facing tough times? And all these things put that pressure back on property taxes, which we were talking about. When state aid to schools is level or low, or even in a couple years ago when it's cut, that forces property taxes higher. And conversely, when there's additional aid to districts, that keeps them down. Now, this year, as we have in the last couple of years, a little different formulation in that we have a property tax cap of 2%, but still there are some soft elements to that where you can go above it, and that puts a lot of pressure. I mean, if we're getting to a point where when there's just so much money in it, that means you start losing teachers, you start losing programs, and then there's a pushback in the community over that. So there's a lot to balance going into this budget.
Kim from Ridgewood, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. Well, you were asking whether I'd like to see the property taxes go down or income taxes, and absolutely the property taxes. Our income taxes haven't risen the same way our property taxes have continued to rise. So, and it's just like, it's not sustainable. I mean, we've been here 7 years and our property taxes have gone up 50%. And they're so much higher. I don't know if people, like when you live in the city, I always laugh when people think their property taxes are so high there. I mean, ours are like, you know, five times the amount that you guys pay.
How much do you pay a year, Kim?
About $14,000.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
I started out paying $9,000. So...
That is stunning. Thanks for your call, Kim. So,
yeah.
John Mooney, founding editor of NJSpotlight.com, what has caused this continued increase? I mean, even under Governor Christie, who prides himself on being able to address these tough fiscal issues, what has kept property taxes going up in New Jersey? Wasn't there a cap proposed?
Well, in the last couple of years, there has been a cap, and that's slowed the growth some. But you know, this New Jersey spends a bit less in terms of state aid on you know, the big ticket items being, and largely schools. There's about 2/3 of your bill, your public schools, and the state provides some funding, but in terms of the share overall, we're certainly less than the average nationwide, and we spend more. New Jersey, I think, is second, third, depends on how you do the math, in terms of spending on public schools. And those costs have continued to rise. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And they continued to rise even during some of those tougher times. And when the state was providing less, that put more and more onus on the local districts to pay it. But this has been going on for a long time. It's not really... something that Chris Christie created by any stretch. This has been a track that New Jersey has been on for maybe even decades. And it's a cost of living issue. It's the fact that we have, you know, 500-600 different school districts and municipalities that contributes to it. I mean, these things, we have a strong union state, so the costs are related to that as well. So there's, you know, a bunch of things that come into it. And at the same time, you have local communities that, you know, that take pride in their local schools and are willing to pay these things. So there's, you know, it goes both ways. But ultimately, we certainly seem to be hitting a tipping point in terms of property taxes and the pressure they're putting on homeowners, especially those on fixed incomes. And it's where we've started to see these tax caps, and we've started to see some controls come in where even the Democrats are talking about, you know, issues like shared services and consolidations. These things are starting to happen a lot more than they used to.
Tim from Hillsborough, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. I definitely think that the property tax has to be addressed. And obviously the income tax would be a larger group to draw from than the property tax. There are more people with jobs, obviously, than people who own property. But the other consideration is a sales tax. You know, we have to be more equitable in our taxation. And there are people who make, you know, $50,000 a year that don't pay any income tax at all. Yet they still utilize the services of schools and in the community and et cetera. So I think if they had more equitable in the income tax and a sales tax, then the property tax wouldn't be such a burden for everybody.
Tim, thank you for your call. John, have you heard anything on the horizon there politically about a sales tax increase?
Yeah, no, I haven't, and this governor hasn't been talking about it. There was a little talk from the Democrats a year or so ago allowing local communities to have their own sales taxes. as a way to raise some income. Though I haven't heard a whole lot of talk of that this year, though that may resurface. I mean, the one issue with sales tax is it's not known as really a particularly fair.
Right, it's considered a regressive tax.
Yeah, it seems to hit the poor and middle class more than it hits the well-to-do. So there's not a lot of that. And I don't think, I'm not sure, I don't have it in front of me, but I don't think New Jersey's sales taxes are particularly low as they are. And I think that there would be a lot of resistance to that. Governor Florio, way back when, it seems now, tried to institute a sales tax and was rebuffed quickly on it, including on toilet paper was the most famous one. And so I don't think that's the pressure, but clearly there needs to be some thought on where we're going to find some revenues. The needs are only going up.
Well, exactly. So, and I remember having a discussion during All Things Considered with Governor Christie when he first proposed this 10% across the board cut, where he expects to make that up. What are you going to be looking for in his budget proposal? Do you think he's going to propose higher fees, for example, to help make up for the loss of that revenue, to help pay for the tax cut? Or is he going to put faith in the slowly, slowly, slowly improving economy to help boost him several months down the road?
I mean, that's typically the path. And I think we never know about fees, and they rarely talk about fees in these budget addresses. They keep them pretty general. And so the devil's in the details, mm-hmm. oftentimes, and you don't see the fees until later. There's movement, there's potential movement around, exciting things like Medicaid reimbursements and putting off pension payments and where they can make up some of this money. But I think philosophically, it's going to come down to an economy getting better, income taxes and other revenues increasing, ultimately for him to be able to sell this. And it's going to be a tough sell. I mean, I think. He is taking a risk with this, I think, but it draws a pretty clear line. This is a governor who says he can cut your taxes, at least bring some controls to property taxes, versus the Democratic Party, which is talking about increasing your taxes, albeit to the benefit of your local schools. But this is, in large part setting up next year, which is really the big year when they all run for election, likely. It's not certain that the governor's running for re-election, but it's, I think, a better than 50-50 chance, and this is very much part of the campaign, starting now.
Let's talk about that briefly. Governor Christie up for re-election, maybe, if he doesn't become a vice presidential nominee. Senate President Stephen Sweeney is thought to be considering running against him. Is either side incentivized to amicably work out their different approaches to the budget, or do you really see this being a deeper struggle than it's been in previous years?
Yeah, I mean, I think hopefully working it out is for the sake of the state, I think, is a path that they recognize as maybe.
Doesn't seem to be working in Washington, I'll tell you that much.
It may be the first pick, but I think in this state it quickly devolves into some real partisan fighting. And I think they're drawing some lines here that are really going to be hard to bridge. I mean, the governor is pretty adamant on this income tax cut, the Democrats are pushing harder on fully funding schools and the like. And I think there's the lines that are going to be very tough to cross. But they did strike some deals before. I think that there's a couple more that may be out there. Transportation funding's a big one that's a real struggle for this state and how we're going to pay for some real severe needs. So I think that there may be some bipartisanship on some of these things, but I think on some of the big issues and the philosophies that they each carry, I think they're, as I say, the campaign really is starting now.
It's starting now.
Yeah.
John Mooney, founding editor of NJSpotlight.com, about Governor Christie's budget presentation, which you will be making later today. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thank you, Amy.
And be sure to stay tuned to WNYC and to All Things Considered later this afternoon for the details of Governor Christie's budget proposal. Coming up next, we will be speaking with Pakistani journalist Nafisi Hoodboy about the latest news coming out of that country. Stay tuned.